How do you prep as a director? How do you shot list? How do you break down character arcs? How do you prep with your DP and department heads? What tools do you use to stay organized for the whole thing? Well, we're going to talk about all that and more with filmmaker Soma Helmy, because this episode is all things director prep. This is the Working Director Podcast, a show that helps you go from emerging filmmaker to working director. As a filmmaker living in Los Angeles, I've directed over 130 projects, including 6 distributed feature films, all while helping filmmakers figure out how to level up in their careers. I do this show with one goal in mind, to help you become a working director. And if you want to join us for the live Q&A sessions and ask all of your questions, make sure you join our free private Facebook group by going to theworkingdirector.pro. Soma did a series. How many episodes were in the series?
Per season, it was 10, but I did 2 seasons, so 20.
did you do 2 seasons in one time?
Yes.
I didn't even know that. I don't think that registered with me before. So you did 20 episodes, and you had how many days to do those 20 episodes?
18.
That is a lot. So you have 18 days and you have to shoot around locations. So you're block shooting and such. Mm-hmm. Anybody who doesn't know what block shooting is, it's basically like if you have a whole feature film, but you need to do all of your church scenes on the same day or two, you block shoot all of those as opposed to shooting sequential. If you had to pick one thing that you had to prep to be successful, what was that one thing you would say? I know there was a lot.
I don't know if there's one thing, because it had to be a lot of things had to go right for it all to go right. So first of all, we got the scripts down to a total of 157 pages in 18 days.
Wow.
Which we were shooting vertical content for. So I think, you know, I had to approach it a little bit differently. So definitely scheduling was very top of mind throughout the whole thing. It was really, really important to get that right. And we were working that schedule until the very last minute. You know, we were mixing things up and changing things around. So I feel like that was definitely where a lot of the focus was while I was doing my director's prep breakdowns, you know, with shot listing and all this kind of stuff. I worked really closely with my DP and my AD. We had a big schedule print, like out on a whiteboard on the wall, and we were just every day you'd find me staring at it basically, like the week's coming.
The Virgo in me just gets so tingly over a big whiteboard full of organization.
So
I guess let's start from, for those watching, let's kind of break it down from the beginning. You take on a project. What is obviously the first thing you do is read the script. Mm-hmm. What is the first thing you do when you start to prep?
Read the script again, and read it more and more times. definitely breaking the script down comes first, I guess. At the same time as you read it and you have shots that come to mind, but you try not to get a little overwhelmed by all the kind of ideas that you get when you first read the script. You know, you can scribble them down, but you really have to absorb the story as much as possible, because some things might seem obvious on your first read that are like completely wrong. The next time you read it, you're like, oh, I totally got that wrong. So understanding the story inside out. And as you're doing that, you break down the script, you start shot listing, you start writing down your ideas, and then all the HODs start coming at you and you talk to your DP about your ideas, you know. So I don't know if there's like one thing that starts, it all kind of like waterfalls and starts going at the same time. Otherwise you get stuck. You have to make sure that the ship just keeps going. So all the departments seem to almost go at once. You just have to know what all those processes are so that you don't stop yourself and get stuck on one thing.
When you are breaking down your script, do you consider sort of schedule first, time that you have first, or do you kind of go, I'm going to just decide what I want as a whole and then worry about if I have the time or the location?
You have to always have schedule in mind. It's not the first and the, I don't know if it's the most important thing, but you should always keep it in the back of your mind as you're thinking about how you're going to shoot this. Because obviously you can have grand plans and grand ideas and the, you know, the scene is telling you, oh, it should be shot like this, but then you always have to have in mind, actually, no, I have, let's say, you know, an hour to shoot this, whatever it is. So you cannot do that, and you can't shoot yourself in the foot planning all these incredible things or shots if you don't have the time to do it. So you really, like I said, you have to kind of have the schedule in mind, you have to have the style that you have in mind, you have to, you know, the look and feel, all those things you have to have in mind while you're reading the script.
Let's talk about maybe each aspect of your scheduling. So, or your planning and your prep. So we've read the script, we've broken down how we think all the character stuff works, where, you know, how we think how everybody's related to each other. We understand, you know, we have these six locations. What's next after that?
Well, shot listing should definitely be in there, because you know, that's the bones of what you need to shoot. And that's where a lot of your scheduling information comes from, and the information that your DP needs about what we're shooting and what gear we need. And like you said, in the beginning, block shooting, you need to have a clear understanding of how much you need to shoot in each location, because you need to, you know, figure out how many days or whatever it is that you need to shoot there. For sure. I think the shot listing part, and it doesn't, you know, I've learned recently, I just came back from shadowing on a Paramount show with an incredible director who is, we were kind of kindred spirits, because he preps very, very meticulously. And I was just so excited to be shadowing him. But I learned something really interesting where, you know, sometimes it's actually better to be a little looser with your shot listing, because, you know, it's not necessarily what you're going to get on the day, or it's not necessarily in the style of the show that you're doing. I think you should always come in with a plan, but you know it, how long you've been shooting for, things don't necessarily go to how you want it to go on the day. So having a little bit of a looser, and when I say looser, it's more like, oh, I want to get this whole scene and just like these two shots, you know, but you know what the two shots are. It's this moving shot starts with a master, and you come in and you come in with the character, you know, you have it in mind, but you don't necessarily have like 10 shots planned for that scene. Yeah.
You're just like, the one thing I always tell new directors is, and I think that when you're new, you might often come in with this, like, I have 10 shots in every scene, and I know, and I'm going to get the bottle and the hand and the phone. And it never works in indie film, and in TV, as someone will tell you, like, it's the same thing, but definitely in indie film, you never, ever, ever have enough time. So I agree. I usually say, I know for this scene, I have to get this one shot that reveals his face to the bag, or I know I need to get a two shot and some coverage in this, and then anything else is bonus. And I'll have those written down, and right, then, oh, we have time. Great. I want to also get this little other thing. And plan for, like, when you're doing your indie shorts, you want to make sure, especially for film festivals, you need to grab them right away. So if you need to spend an extra hour and you're going over, but it's the opening scene, spend that extra hour and then later find a place where a smaller scene you can get in and out with less shots and get your hour back. So that's another thing when you're planning, is like, how important is this shot? How important is this scene? Is this just a transition scene? Is this a money shot? Is this... There's a lot of things you have to consider when you're prepping.
I think it comes back down to, again, understanding the story and understanding what is happening in each scene and what character wants. Because if you don't get that, you can plan as much as you want. You have your 10 shots, but what are those 10 shots saying? Mm-hmm. You know? And if it might come down to, actually, if I just get this in a one-er, it's everything I need to say. It's everything these characters need to say. It's everything that needs to tell us what's happening, what's coming, you know, all those things. And just knowing it inside out. And that's where a lot of the prep that I do, you know, I do character breakdowns and story breakdowns. And I just really go in a lot more on character and storyline and plot A, B, C, all that kind of stuff. Because everything else, if you understand that, I feel like everything else comes a lot easier.
I would agree. And I also think it's important when you're on set, because if someone, like, if your DP is like, but I really want to, let's look at this shot, it would be really cool. You want to get this shot? It's like, yeah, but it doesn't tell my story. And I need to make sure I'm showing what this person's thinking or how this is connected. And if you're not prepped with all of that emotional work that someone's talking about, you're not getting it. You're gonna go, oh yeah, that is a pretty shot, and forget. Then you're gonna watch your movie back and be like, crap, we never got that big reveal.
Right.
Yeah. I've been there.
The story makes no sense now. And we did get that really cool crane shot, but amazing.
So what are some of the tools that you use for prep? Because I know you do a lot of different graphs and sheets and charts and
tools like
do you build everything in Excel? Do you use like Movie Maker?
I use actually a lot of like the Google tools, Sheets and Word, the Word version, I think it's called.
Google Docs, yeah.
Docs. And obviously Dropbox, because that's one of the easiest ways to share with your team. What are some other things I use? I've tried, you know, some of the apps for shotlisting, but I still like a good old fashioned just Excel spreadsheet kind of shot.
Yeah. Or I feel like the apps sometimes make it overcomplicated.
Yeah. And actually one of the easiest ways to do it is actually on a Word document or on, you know, Google Docs, is just to write your shot list out that way. And you have all your information. And I, you know, like, I still sometimes have my director's folder, you know, where you kind of have it on set, but actually most of everything I do now is on my iPad, where all the things that I need are loaded mostly into Scriptation.
I love Scriptation, but I have to say I'm still so freaking analog. I hate myself for it. I still want my binder with my paper. But Scriptation is such a great, amazing tool that if you can get yourself to use it, y'all, definitely use it. So those of you who don't know Scriptation, you can actually do a lot of this in, say, Google Slides or something as well, if it's easier. One thing about Scriptation is now that it has your script, you can highlight different things for each department and give that department just those notes of layer. Even though it's all in your script, you can see all the layers, or you can turn off layers and see each department. You can stick in sound memos to yourself. You can stick in photos. I mean, all of that part is all still free. Like, I don't even know what you buy the pro. I don't know how they sell the pro version. They give you so much for free.
I don't know either. I've always had the pro version, so I don't know the difference. But the one thing that I think when it first started, which was especially in episodic or, you know, things that move really fast, is that you can port your notes.
Oh, because God, that's the best.
So many versions that come out once you start doing more episodic work. There's just like version after version, and you just port it from one to the next. And that is just a life.
I actually use Scriptation now when I'm writing notes for people whose scripts I'm reading. I write the notes on their script on Scriptation. And then when they send it back and I import, I go add the notes to the new script. I can see which ones they didn't do. Yeah. They're still in there. It's great.
Yeah. But I put everything into my Scriptation when I'm shooting though. Like, I make all my shot list into PDFs. I make my overheads into PDFs, all of it. Like, you know, I have cheat sheets for character and actor names because I'm terrible with names, and I have to have like a little page with their photo and the character name and the actor name. And I put that in my Scriptation. So it's all kind of in quote unquote one folder in one app. And I just move from tab to tab. And to me, that makes me a little more efficient because I'm not like hunting through apps and hunting through everything to try and find my info.
That's really smart. We've talked about, you read the script a bunch of times, you get sort of really familiar with the characters, you do your shot lists. What's the next level? Like, I know a lot of times they want to know, how do they then prep with their department heads?
Well, you should already be prepping with your DP ahead of all of this, obviously. Because one of the first conversations you want to have is, what is this going to look like and how are we shooting this? Because that's going to inform your shot list. So, you know, I think that's one of the most important conversations and relationships that you're going to have. And with your AD, you're talking about scheduling and you're talking about, what we discussed with the DP, is it actually shootable? and it becomes this kind of horse trading situation where you're just like, well, if we don't do that shot, we can do this on the next day. And that, I think, becomes, it's funny, I think negotiation becomes one of your biggest skills as a director, with like the producer, the DP, and the, you know, the AD, all, you're just basically trading things all day long, what you can and can't achieve.
I think that goes back to this. I want to point out that, like, when you the stuff we talked about, like knowing your script so well and knowing what you really need, knowing which shots that the producer really needs, especially if it's TV, like what does that episode, what do they do every single time in this, you know, in their cold open, whatever, knowing all that, giving as much as you can of that, but knowing that like, no, but I know this one shot, I really need it. So you can say, sure, I'll give you whatever you guys want on all this, but I need this. Can we get this one shot? And that way you're not asking for 100 things. You're asking for one thing.
Yeah, I mean, it can be negotiating for how many background, which is a common negotiation. You know, you're kind of giving up things here and there so that you can have more background in one scene. I think, yeah, again, knowing the story and the characters inside out, you know what is going to be important for you to trade and what isn't, you know, knowing what hill you're going to die on. Because some things, if they want, you just have to be like, okay, that's not the thing that I want to be fighting for. It might not be that important to you the way you tell the story. So you need to know, you need to understand that before you go in. And if it is, you know, episodic stuff, obviously you have to know how they shoot and how they storytell and how they present their story, because you're coming in as a guest and you're coming into their house basically to tell their story.
So when you work with your DP, are there things that you do besides a shot list? Do you do anything like mood boards? You know, I know a lot of people use Pinterest.
Sure. Yeah. Your lookbooks and mood boards, I usually start even before I start shot listing. That usually comes in. I don't know, this is all in like not in order, but like I said, a lot of it just kind of goes at once because you don't have a lot of time usually to prep. So you just have to know what the tools are that you need to get done before you start shooting, you know, like your lookbook, your references that you're going to give to your team, whether that be costumes, whether that be shots, whether that be, you know, anything like that, art. Some, you know, it depends, like if you have hero props, if you have anything like that, that is really important to have in your mind, overheads. If you already know your locations and you know where you're going to shoot, having overheads or, you know, floor plans of your location and knowing how you're going to block your shots is very, very important. Obviously, there's, you know, there's a set number of meetings that happen during prep, and one of them is a location scout. So knowing ahead of time kind of how you want to shoot it before you get there is usually a nice thing to do. Obviously, don't get locked into that because the location might be completely wrong for what you had in mind. But having an idea of it, I think, is always really important. Breakdowns, like master breakdowns of the story, I do around about the same time. Yeah, I don't know what
when else. You say master breakdown of the story, can you explain to them what you mean?
Yeah, so going through scene by scene, and I do this grid where basically it's like a, you know, scenes on the rows, and the you figure out what your A, B, C, or D sometimes storyline is in each scene, and you can kind of track what is happening in each scene for each of those storylines. Obviously, each scene won't have all the storylines, but that is a really good way for you to like have a global view. So for example, if it's a murder story, you know, the lead person who is investigating their story, for example, you would maybe put in as your A story, and you would track anything that relates to that in that column. So you do that for all your scenes.
Is anybody confused yet? That's what I say. I'm always pushing people to go do your prep class, because we could talk about this all we want, but there's something really special about getting to get with you and see these grids and see what you, how you do it. And I think it really breaks it up. So we have a question from Abigail. Welcome, Abigail. How much time do you normally get to prep before the first shoot date? Which obviously that depends, but let's say, let's maybe talk about network and indie features. Even though most of my, I've literally been hired to do indie features that were already cast and crew, and I had a week. So that said, in network, I think, did they give you a week before you?
It depends on the length of the episode. So I've not directed, I've shadowed a lot on episodic stuff, but it depends on the length of the episode. And it also, it varies. Like sometimes I've heard of
actually, I was just on a 1 hour that we only had a week. I think it was a week and a half prep for each episode, and then 14 days they had to shoot, because we were doing blocks. So that's 7 days to shoot per 1 hour, which is, I think there's a range between 7 and 12 days to shoot, and then between, like, you know, a week and 10 days to prep, I believe. I'm not wrong. The numbers tend to, it's always like, how long is a piece of string and how much is their budget?
Now, if you're doing, and if you're doing an indie feature, ideally, if you actually have funding, you know, you have a million, 3 million kind of feature, you normally get at least 4 weeks of prep.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily always, as the director, you tend to get a lump sum. So they might be like, you know, here's $75,000. That takes you from prep through whenever, red carpets. So just trying to negotiate getting as much prep as time as possible is really on you as the director. Just try
and
your best.
Non-union. That makes a huge difference. Yeah. What kind of show, what kind of movie you're on, you know, because the DGA has all these protections in place about how much prep and how many shoot days you're allowed.
Allie says, hi, Soma, thank you for doing this. Can you share a little bit about the interviewing process? I guess that's a little bit about prep, like, because you kind of have to show that you know what the hell their show is or their film is and you're passionate about it.
I assume this means when I'm being interviewed, right?
When you're being interviewed, yeah.
I tend to research, you know, what you're going to shoot and the company that is shooting them, what they've shot. And very often you might get the script ahead of time for the interview. You may not. So if you do, obviously read that and know it inside out. I, again, prep a little too much, and I sometimes will do like a mini deck. Sometimes that's required. Sometimes it's not, where I get like that lookbook kind of idea of what I have in my mind of how I want to shoot it and how I envision the thing is going to look. And then a lot of these will actually be multiple interview processes. So you have to interview with the producers, then you might have to interview with the studio, then you might, so it's not just like the one interview and you get it. So each of those phases require different material that you should have ready. So like a lot of the prelim ones are, they just want to chat to you and see what kind of human you are, really, to be honest, because there's so much of this is you're spending this really intense amount of time with the same people in, you know, very high stress situations. So they want to see what kind of person you are and whether you are welcome in their family. I've had that said to me where, you know, we're really just trying to figure out whether we want to invite you to our family to spend time with us. So, you know, I have a set of questions now that I have for myself when I know I'm going for an interview with like a showrunner meeting. I prep for that too, and I write down the type of questions that I think they're going to ask and make sure that I know their show inside out, make sure I know maybe what they like. I ask around if anybody knows the person that I'm going to be interviewing with, and to see what their insights are. And then I kind of have a set of answers that I have ready in case they ask that, because a lot of it is like technical, especially once you get to the showrunner interview. They might ask you technical questions about how you are going to shoot their show or their movie.
That makes sense. I told you she's the queen of prep. She's prepping for the interview almost as much as she prepped for the job. Abigail asks, what tips do you have for learning your characters well and keeping your ideas consistent through episodes, especially with short prep times?
Having the breakdown for your character breakdown is really a good like tool. You know, you kind of write down their arc throughout your episode or throughout your feature. I sometimes will do that per character, and in each scene I kind of write what their evolution is, and figuring out, I kind of do passes sometimes for the script where I do a pass just for that character, and I look for their emotional arcs, their wants, their needs, all that kind of thing per scene. you know, and I think you need to do that, especially with all your leads, getting really into their mechanics and their mind of how they work. But putting that, I think, in a tool like a grid or a spreadsheet is really, really helpful because it just keeps it all on track in mind for you. I'm a really big fan of just having it all out down on paper or on the wall or in your iPad so that you can reference it very quickly.
Well, yeah, because even if it's your idea and you feel like you know it forward and backward, when you're on set and there's a million things coming your way, you will forget that one thing you really wanted to do. Also, I would say on prep wise, not only knowing your story, your character's arcs and all their emotional, you know, roller coaster, but knowing your filmmaking roller coaster. So I made a big mistake in Beethoven because we were running out of time at one point and we ended up having to cut. So we have a talking head scene, a talking head scene. They're next to each other because I had to cut out the middle scene from the film. So I hate it. I hate it. I hate when I watch it. I'm like, there's no movement because we didn't have time for movement, but it didn't matter. If I would have had that laid out, I would have been like, no, every single scene needs to have some kind of movement, at least at the beginning or the end, so that it's not just so flat, 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 flat.
Transitions. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, transitions too. Yep.
Figure out your transitions in and out of every scene. I know it seems like such a tech thing to think about, but it will save you so much when you're editing. Figure out your transitions. And that doesn't necessarily mean like, you know, because it can be involved with character stuff. What is your character doing before they come into the scene, when they come out, all of that. You got to figure all of that out.
You could go on forever. The prep is just an endless thing. So if you are watching this video and you want to make sure that you get an email when someone does her class, just hit something like, just comment something like Soma's class or whatever. And I'll make sure to get back to you when I know she does them, because she only does them a couple of times a year. Soma, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Working Director Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, please rate and review, as it helps others find the show and helps us keep making great content for you. And if you want even more help with your directing career, check out theworkingdirector.pro, where you can apply to be part of the accelerator that hones in on where you currently are and helps you get to where you want to be. Whether it's this podcast, the accelerator, or our free Facebook community for directors, we're here to help you get to work.